coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, another 8 runs from the offense, another win for the Dodgers. We're going to get into the win, get into the offense, get into a little bit about the bullpen, and talk about if the Dodgers season is quote-unquote painful. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day every day. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. If this is your first time watching or listening, I'm Vince Samperio, and I usually have a co-host named Jeff Snyder. Although he is not here today, it will be me rolling by myself, solo dolo, as I've once been known to say. If you haven't watched before, we are both lifelong Dodger fans who have spent the time covering the Dodgers in a variety of ways, and now we've settled on doing a podcast in addition to other things. So we're here to talk Dodgers, so let's talk Dodgers. Dodgers put up another 8 runs to help out another amp performance from the starting pitcher and get another win and change the fortunes of the month of June so far, which we'll get into a little bit later based off a tweet from Molly Knight. But on the Dodgers side of things, like I said, a amp performance from starting pitcher. That starting pitcher was Tyler Anderson. He went just 5 innings, gave up 4 runs total, 3 of those runs earned, did not factor into the decision. And yeah, it was just a similar performance to Tony Gonsolin. Obviously more runs allowed here. Just couldn't quite miss as many bats as normal. Only had 2 strikeouts, bumped his ERA up to 3 on the season. Yeah, just one of this was the Tyler Anderson, you know, we probably expected. Which is a number 5 starter. Tyler Anderson gives you 5 or 6 innings, 3 or 4 runs, ERA, you know, hovering around 4 or 5, and you hope that the offense can pick up. And that's exactly what happened here. Now, the only difference is that this is not the Tyler Anderson we've come to know, especially coming off a start where he almost threw a no-hitter. But, you know, in the end, it doesn't matter. He made a start, the Dodgers offense picked them up later in the game, and the Dodgers were able to get the win, which is all that really matters. The only thing that start hurt was Tyler Anderson's all-star chances, but, you know, us as Dodger fans aren't going to lose any sleep. Tyler Anderson doesn't make the all-star game as long as the Dodgers continue to win on days that he pitches. Once again, it was a story of the top of the order. Trey Turner didn't have any hits, but did drive in a run. Freddie Freeman had 2 hits and drove in 2 runs. Will Smith had 3 hits and drove in a run. Even Max Muncy got in on the hits. 1 for 4, so he's continuing to raise that average. Chris Taylor had it a hit. And then Trace Thompson had a big 2-run double late in the game. Came into the game late as a pinch hitter. And second at-bat made it worth it by hitting a 2-run double, which was big in extending the Dodgers' lead at the time. And the Dodgers, as we know, the Dodgers' extended leads are good right now because Craig Kimbrell's the closer, and Craig Kimbrell did come in a non-save situation. The Dodgers were up 8-4. He did give up a leadoff double, but he pitched around it to put up a clean scoreless inning. So shout out to Craig Kimbrell, possibly aided by the umpire. One of the strike 3 calls could have been, or maybe should have been, ball 4. And he would have had 1st and 3rd with 1 out, and it might have been a little bit different situation. But umpire called it a strike, and then Craig Kimbrell got the next guy to ground out and was able to put up a scoreless inning, something we haven't seen from him too many times this season. That was the exact type of situation that Jeff and I had talked about in the past of how to get Kimbrell back on track, the offense putting up a bunch of runs, the Dodgers able to get him in non-safe situations or multiple run, lead situations, and that's exactly what it was. None save, four runs. Very hard for him to try and botch, and he did it. He still didn't have the command that we would expect. You know, like I said, he would have walked. He gave up the double to Kyle Farmer, was a fastball right down the middle. Right down the middle, a little bit low, but right into, you know, a lot of guys' wheelhouses. And pulling off a lot on the fastball, like I said, should have walked somebody else, would have had two runners on, but luckily the umpire helped him out. So we're going to take the results of a scoreless inning, but we're going to remember that he wasn't quite there yet, but the stuff remains there in terms of velocity and everything else. It's just a matter of cleaning up how he gets there. But regardless of all that, it was a nice outing for him. Chris Taylor had a big play defensively, doing a double play, catching the ball in left field, and throwing out the runner, trying to tag it home. It was as perfect as a throw as you can make, you know, accurate, one hop right into the catcher's glove. Will Smith puts down the tag, and it was perfect. It was not, you know, it wasn't the same, obviously, energy or anything like that, or even type of play as when he threw out Grisham at home to end the game in San Diego in 2020. But it was similar in the sense of a pretty accurate throw. He got behind it. You know, he was able to set his feet, get behind it, and get into the throw. And it was a good sign because we've seen Taylor make a few throws this season that have been completely off. And he went from a guy where you expect at least a good throw, at least an accurate throw, to this season it's kind of been a, I don't know what I'm going to get when he lets go of this baseball right now. So I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, his elbows feeling better. You know, he had an elbow cleaned up in the offseason, I believe. If it's a matter of his elbow feeling better, or if it's just one of those where everything kind of lined up. But it looked good, and it helped out the Dodgers. It helped out Tyler Anderson, and it was one of the key plays of the game. So shout out to Chris Taylor for that. In terms of the rest of the game, you know, Freddie Freeman had a home run that broke the tie in the seventh. The Dodgers put up three more in the eighth and were able to make it a – it was a close game most of the game, and then they were able to put it away at the end, which is, you know, a thing the Dodgers can do. As we've seen this season and even in seasons past with a team like this, putting up runs later in the game, extending the game or extending the lead to put the game out of hand – that's something the Dodgers can do, especially when they get into teams' bullpens, especially with teams' bullpens who aren't good like the Reds. So it's nice to see the offense doing that. Yes, it's the Reds, but it's also a matter of they've been getting shut down or shut out by teams or pitchers much worse, or if not the same, in terms of skill set as some of these Reds pitchers. So win the series now, 2 out of 3. You got Kershaw and Hunter Green coming up this morning, maybe as right around the time you're listening to this podcast or soon after. So that's going to be a good matchup. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the bullpen and just some guys that have done really well recently and some guys, especially some guys that pitched in the game last night. But first, let's talk about Blue Nile. Because if you want fine jewelry, if you need wedding jewelry, BlueNile.com is there for you to help you celebrate all of life's special moments. From creating the custom engagement ring of your dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether you're ready to pop the question or just celebrating a milestone moment, BlueNile.com helps you out with the modern convenience of online shopping. And they take it even a step further. Because if you are having trouble or you don't know exactly what to get, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. And if not, you can just use their simple online tools that let you choose diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And right now, Locked On Dodgers listeners can get $50 off purchases of $500 or more with this podcast exclusive agreement that also includes engagement rings. Just use the code LOCKEDON for $50 off a purchase of $500 or more. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Remember, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. NBA Draft Night, our live NBA Draft Show, is not just one show. It is 32 shows, one for every team that is on the NBA channel. So go check it out. If you have a favorite NBA team, make sure to subscribe to their Locked On Now YouTube channel to get notified when they go live on NBA Draft Night. Check out the Lakers, who I don't believe have a first-round pick this year, but could find their way into a first-round pick, maybe. Or the Clippers, who also are an NBA team that plays in Los Angeles and that you might be a fan of. So go check it out. Live NBA Draft shows tonight, NBA Draft. Check it out. Okay, so I mentioned that the last 2 days, the Dodgers have had to get multiple innings from the bullpen. Because Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson both went just five innings. On Wednesday, it was Alex Vesia, Yensy Almonte, Daniel Hudson, and Craig Kimbrell pushing out those four scoreless innings, I might add, and just leads to a look at the bullpen and how it's been the last few weeks and you know, what's standing out in the sense of the Dodgers. And, you know, you look at the last 15 days, last 2 weeks, you got Brusdar Graterol with an ERA of 0 and a whip of 0.30. Really, you know, just 6 strikeouts and 6.2 innings, but starting to get those outs that he wasn't quite racking up before, starting to limit the base hits and no walks. So, you know, Graterol has been a guy that they've been able to count on all year, maybe not for clean innings, but for innings regardless. But he's had a really good stretch here the last couple weeks. You pair that with Evan Phillips, who also has a 0 ERA, 1.25 whip, and that's in 4 innings, 5 strikeouts. Yensy Almonte, who pitched last night, who's been pretty much lights out for most of the time since he's come up. He's got a 0 ERA in 4 innings with 5 strikeouts, a 0.25 whip, so he's not giving up any walks, and he's not allowing much hits. So shout out to Yensy Almonte. And then you go down, you got Phil Bickford, and, you know, even David Price has contributed the last couple weeks. One note on the bullpen is Caleb Ferguson, who went on the 15-day IL. Partly, we thought because the Dodgers were going to have to get down to 13 pitchers and because of the roster rules. But he also said he just felt some general soreness that he feels it, you know, more use. He's coming off Tommy John surgery, as we know, had a little bit more usage lately, probably just a matter of, you know, a little bit of rest in order to get his arm right. But it comes down to, you know, where the Dodgers bullpen sits and how it's been, and this is, you know, got to be the strength of the team. You go back even a month, the last 30 days, and it's a mix, a little bit of a mixed bag. But you have some guys that you definitely can count on. You know, you go back into those 30 days and you got Daniel Hudson, Evan Phillips, Yensy Almonte, all with ERAs under 2. Daniel Hudson being at 1.80 with the whip of 0.90. Evan Phillips at 0.84 with the whip of 1.13. And you got Yensy Almonte at 0.82 in 11 innings, 0.64 whip, and racking up 12 strikeouts. So, you know, the Dodgers, as we know, I have a lot of guys in this bullpen that can be good. They've had guys that have struggled at times this year. You know, Alex Vesia over the last month hasn't been too great, but as of recently, he's picked it up. Graterol, same way. You look at the last month, he's okay. You look at the last couple weeks, and he's been really good. And it's just one of those things of how relievers are in general. But it's good to look at and get to note of, you know, these guys being able to get outs when needed and these guys being able to be counted on. Because like we said the other day, you know, if Kimbrel can figure things out, if Blake Treinen can make it back, if, you know, even Tommy Canley could maybe make it back, if then Dustin May, Danny Duffy can get added to it, this bullpen is looking like one of those that you can tell your starting pitcher, hey, we only need 3-4 innings, 5 innings at max, and we can take this the rest of the way. But Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the Dodgers can rely on it, even though they haven't necessarily needed to with some of the starting pitching performances they've got this year. But it's definitely better to have it there and not need it as much than to not have it there when you do need it. So just wanted to give a shout out to the Dodgers bullpen. And now moving on to another topic of the Dodgers and potential names that could come up or maybe should be up already. I'll start with Jake Lamb, who I saw a few tweets about of why the Dodgers haven't given him a chance or why the Dodgers haven't brought him up, and you know, why coming off the fact that Hanser Alberto went on the paternity list, the Dodgers called up Steven Romero, and that's kind of what set off some of the tweets. And it's a matter of, at least in the specific sense of Steven Romero right now, the Dodgers brought in a guy who, well, first of all, is more of an outfielder, even though he plays first base outfield, but he's listed as an outfielder. And the other part, too, or the main part, at least for this specific one, for just bringing him up for the, because Hanser's going on the paternity list, it's a sense of, if you bring up Jake Lamb, and let's just say you left the roster exactly the same, so in a couple of days when Hanser comes back, now you got a DFA Jake Lamb in order to get him back down to the minors, where you probably don't want to lose somebody like that. Whereas Steven Romero, you're not necessarily married to him. He probably would clear waivers anyways, considering the fact that he hadn't been in the majors the last few years and hasn't been lighting the world on fire to take notice, or at least a notice enough for the Dodgers, other than to bring him up at this time when they need an outfielder and when they just have a couple days up. Now, if you want to argue that Jake Lamb, you know, could have been called up before some of these other guys that have been called up, that's probably more of a conversation to have. You know, Eddie Alvarez being one of those guys, or even Trace Thompson, you know, being one of those guys. But you go back to just even the Trace Thompson thing, they needed somebody who was listed as an outfielder. That was primary position was outfield. And even with Lamb hitting lefties well in the minors this year, the left-hander's quality you're seeing in the major leagues is a lot different than the left-handed quality you're seeing in the minor leagues. So they can't count on that, you know, to translate to the majors. Now, does he deserve a chance? Yeah, he probably at this point has played well enough to deserve a chance to come up. And that still may very well happen. You know, if Justin Turner continues to struggle, if Max Muncy continues to struggle, I could see another potential IL stint for one of those guys. And then you get Jake Lamb and say, all right, here's your audition. Let's see what you got. But, you know, going back to the Steven Romero one for Hanser, it's a couple of days. You don't want to add a guy to the you don't want to add a guy to the 40-man. And then have to take him off, and it be Jake Lamb. When it goes back even a couple of days before that, the Trace Thompson thing, they needed an outfielder. Jake Lamb's not a primary outfielder. He can play corner outfield if need be, which is what they already had enough guys to do. Coming off the Eddie Alvarez struggles in right field on Sunday. And then, you know, the Eddie Alvarez one, at that point, they needed a guy that's a little bit more versatile up the middle, just in case, because they didn't have that. And there's justifications each time they've brought someone up instead of Jake Lamb. And there's been, you can very much argue the flip side, because Eddie Alvarez has already been up long enough for, you know, Jake Lamb to have been up, and Eddie Alvarez has had enough starts already to justify that you could have had him up. But like I said, with him being a third base, first base type of guy with the potential to play corner outfield, it wasn't necessarily another thing they needed. They have guys that can do that at the moment, even if they're not hitting right now. So that's just where it sits there. One other note, the Dodgers had Miguel Vargas play left field last night for the first time in his career for OKC. And he made a pretty nice running play out there, running to his left, catching a ball in left center field, pretty deep out there. And it didn't look awkward. It looked not natural, but it didn't look awkward. It looked good. He made the play. And, you know, just leads to a question of, are the reason they doing this because they want to bring him up soon? Or obviously the Dodgers love versatility and they've done this with a few guys, you know, Gavin Lux and other guys that have played outfield when they've been primarily infielders. But it seems like doing it now and especially this late into the season makes it seem like they're really considering calling him up. So we'll see if that's the case. But yeah, Miguel Vargas, left fielder. That may be something that's coming to the majors soon. So we're going to talk about the Dodgers season and if it's been quote-unquote painful, as one Molly Knight would say. But first, let's talk about Athletic Greens, because Athletic Greens is something I've started taking since we started this partnership with them. And it's something that's really helped out with getting my energy up and getting my day started right. It's a scoop, Athletic Greens AG1. It's a scoop that you add to your water, to your shake, to your coffee, whatever you want in the morning. You add it there before you eat anything. And it's giving you 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports a variety of things. Everybody's different, but it can support gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. I definitely like it for the energy part because as someone who stays up, stays up to watch Dodger games and then record podcasts over after the game is over and then wake up in the morning to get into some work meetings, you know, definitely a guy that can use a little bit of extra energy. AG1 has helped out with that for sure. So go check it out. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than buying a coffee every single day. Or, you know, some people might add it in addition to their coffee. I'm not a coffee guy, but AG1 has been perfect for me. And you don't have to buy a bunch of vitamins. You just got one scoop that you need. And right now, you can reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. And you can make it easy on yourself by getting a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you go to go to athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. That's athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right, last segment came, the idea came from a tweet from Molly Knight. Molly Knight, as you remember, wrote a book about the Dodgers. And she said, watching the Dodgers this season is painful even when they win. They are not steamrolling all comers like the Yankees. It has been a grind. She went on to add, three guys in Dodgers starting lineup tonight were hitting 203 or less. That's rough, and there's not much they can do right now but hope those players improve. And I can understand the sentiment to a certain degree. Painful, probably not the right word. And it's definitely not watching the Dodgers this season. It's watching the Dodgers in the month of June. The month of June has been a grind, has been a struggle. The Dodgers over the course of the season have not. And I think it also, you know, I think it's the month of June because the Dodgers have struggled a little bit in June. And the Yankees have been on fire recently. And the numbers back it up pretty easily. On May 31st, the Yankees were 34-15 with a plus 79 run differential. On May 31st, the Dodgers were 33-16 with a plus 116 run differential. So they were almost 40 runs up in run differential, and they were just one win behind the Yankees. Now you fast forward to now, the Yankees are 51-18 with the plus 145 run differential. The Dodgers are 42-25 with the plus 124 run differential. So the Dodgers went from about 35 to 40 runs above the Yankees in run differential to being now 20 runs behind them in the span of, you know, the 23 days of June or 22 days of June. You know, they've gone from being one win behind them to being 9 wins behind them. And that's the difference right there. And so would you have said on May 31st with all this stuff right here, would you have said watching the Dodgers this season is painful? I don't think so. And if you did, it's just that's a little bit more of a you problem than a general problem. But then the Dodgers have gone 9-9 in the month of June. And yeah, it hasn't been necessarily the most fun thing to watch. Mookie Betts now injured. Freddie Freeman struggled a little bit to start the month. Mookie Betts struggled to start the month. You know, the Dodgers offense, you know, we know the Dodgers have guys in their lineup that aren't hitting very well. We know that, you know, Cody Bellinger is not hitting very well. We know that Max Muncy hasn't been hitting well at all. We know that Justin Turner hasn't been hitting well at all this season. These are things that we know, but, you know, before the month of June, the Dodgers were getting past all that and were able and were, you know, thriving. Now we're getting here in the month of June, and it's been a little bit of a struggle. The starting pitching has still remained good. The overall pitching has still remained good. It's just a matter of the offense. And the numbers bear out in that, too, because the Dodgers have allowed 218 runs, and the Yankees have allowed 208 runs. So there's only a 10-run difference in runs allowed. And, you know, we had almost a 50-run switch in run differential. That really comes in the offense. The Yankees have scored 353 runs. The Dodgers have scored 342. When we go back to May 31st, the Yankees had scored 229 runs. The Dodgers had scored 270 runs. So they were up 41 runs on the Yankees. Now they're down a few, 10 runs to the Yankees. You know, that's a 50-run difference on offense right there. So I understand the sentiment. You know, it has been annoying this month, but it's not a matter of the Dodger season. I don't even think it's a matter of painful. Painful is not the right word. There's a lot of teams you can find, and the word painful is a lot stronger of a word, especially teams that aren't good, like the Cincinnati Reds or the Washington Nationals or the Oakland A's or Kansas City Royals. You know, those teams' seasons have probably been painful, especially the A's, who traded a bunch of guys away in the offseason. You know, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They have a run differential of -108. The Detroit Tigers, 26-43, a run differential of -100. You know, that's what painful is to me. Washington Nationals, run differential of -113. You know, that's what's painful, not the Dodgers 42-25 with a June that's been kind of meh. I will say, you know, the frustrations do make sense, in the, because the Dodgers are underplaying what, you know, if you go by Pythagorean win-loss, expected win-loss with the +124 run differential, that bears out to a record of 47-20. They're currently 42-25. So, yeah, they're playing five games below their expected. You know, that's frustrating, but I wouldn't call the season painful. As a whole, and I wouldn't say painful in general. Anyways, I would say the month of June has been mildly frustrating because the Dodgers have struggled and because the Yankees have been steamrolling teams recently. So, all in all, just to say that it's not as bad as you think or as you may think, especially considering the fact that it's June. You know, the Dodgers have been the team that steamrolls before. The Dodgers have been the team, you know, you go back to this run, this stretch run where they've made the playoffs 10 years in a row and look at it, and they've been one of the leaders in wins, obviously, and probably the leader, one of the leaders, if not the leader, in run differential all those years. And, you know, what has it amounted to? It's amounted to, should have been 2 World Series. Just 1 World Series. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to call it. I'm not going to, you know, get too down about June on June 23rd or June 22nd, June 23rd, whatever. I'm not going to call the Dodgers season painful by any means. I'm going to call it the month of June has been mildly frustrating, and the Dodgers still have a week to turn it around and can go from 9-9 in June to whatever it is, maybe 15-9 or 16-9, however many games they have left. So, obviously the spark was Molly Knight's tweet, but it's also been a matter of the type of questions we've been getting recently in mailbags, just the type of sentiment I've seen on Twitter from Dodger fans. And, you know, it's a matter of, yes, it sucks the month of June has been not fun. But it's a matter of look at all this that has been going wrong, that hasn't been going great, and the Dodgers are still right there in terms of one of the best teams in baseball. So, and they'll continue to do so, and that's where it's at. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. If you need something else to listen to, check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft ahead of the NBA Draft tonight. Just search for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft because you'll get picks from over 50 insiders, Odyssey Sports experts, and the draft experts of the Locked On NBA Big Board. There's 5 episodes. You can get all those in before the actual draft tonight. So make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen right now. Go do it. You can find us on wherever on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. You can also search for Locked On Dodgers on Twitter and Instagram, and you'll find us there as well. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. The other ways to get a hold of us are email lockedondodgers@gmail.com and voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.